Okay, so Ryan, what's happening at the state capitol this week?
This is another week where we are hearing a lot of bills coming through committees of various kinds and trying to get ready for later in the session when we get budget numbers and get ready to create the state budget. There's a whole bunch of policy issues coming through related to workers and COVID-19. We had a hearing about a state mask mandate yesterday in one of our committees, and we are preparing legislation to help make sure that the Derek Chauvin trial doesn't turn into a situation of civil unrest in Minneapolis. So a lot of big issues on our plate, but we're still early in the policy development phase of the legislative session.
Right, and this is, of course, a budget year, and a new budget forecast is expected to be released later this month, right?
Yes. Well, it will be at the very beginning of March, probably, but it's coming up.
Okay, and then let's just backtrack a little bit what our last budget forecast looked like. It was like a surplus for one year, but a deficit in the next, as I recall.
That's correct. We were looking at a deficit for the next budget cycle that we're just starting now. But that was before we had the first or the December round of stimulus out of Washington. And as we look now at the Biden stimulus package that's likely to come through, I think we'll have a significantly better outlook for our state budget as we get more of this economic data coming in to our forecasters.
So, you mentioned a little bit ago about a mask mandate. What sort of things would that entail?
Well, what we're trying to do is have a conversation on whether the governor's emergency authority to deal with COVID-19, including a mask policy that he has put forward, whether that should be in state law instead, whether it should be something that the legislature passes and the governor signs into law. And the legislature has been debating all year its role in COVID-19 and whether we are a good institution for helping to direct the fight against COVID-19, or whether the speed of the governor's actions is a better place to do it. So the bill is being held for now. We're not intending to move forward at this time because we see little support from Republicans for a statewide mask mandate. And so the point of it is to discuss the alternatives to what the governor has been doing with his emergency powers.
Right, and I imagine writing a law takes quite a bit of time, and by the time you guys get finished, we might all be vaccinated.
Well, that's true, and that's exactly the point of the governor's powers, that you need to be able to act quickly. And the legislature is really designed to be slow. It's designed for a lot of conversation, a lot of public input, a lot of checks and balances. And by that time, not only could everyone be vaccinated, but if we had done it that way at the beginning of COVID-19, we might not have had the tools in place at all to protect Minnesotans.
So, other priorities for the House, the DFL party, what are some of the biggest priorities for this budget cycle as you see it?
Well, first of all, we want to make sure that the budget is balanced. That is required. We want to make sure that we are supporting schools around Minnesota, that we are supporting health care access for Minnesotans. And we have a real emphasis on frontline workers, not just first responders, nurses, but also all the people in the service industry, the healthcare industry, who've stepped up and been exposed to COVID-19 or have lost their jobs due to closures. And we want to make sure that those people come out of this COVID-19 recession in as good a position as they possibly can be. So we have a whole series of bills to help Minnesota workers affected by COVID.
Last week we talked a little bit about your push to legalize marijuana in the state, and it seems like you don't have a lot of support across the aisle. But some states have done a referendum vote, and I was just hoping maybe to clarify, like, if the bill passes, if would it go to referendum to on Minnesota ballots?
We don't have really a referendum. The only way we can do that in Minnesota is a constitutional amendment. So it is possible that the House and Senate, by a majority vote, could put a constitutional amendment related to cannabis on the ballot. But that is not what our bill does. Our bill does it through regular legislative process, through the law, not through the Constitution. And I think it's a better approach because it allows us to make changes, to correct mistakes, and to try to get it done right. And so at times, when politicians at the legislature have been unwilling to make a decision, they have put things on the ballot for the Constitution as a way of raising the issue without having to definitively take a stand on it. And I think that would be a mistake in this case.
And headlines out of South Dakota, the South Dakotans passed a referendum approving the legal sale of marijuana, but it's now being challenged in the state government.
Yeah, I think that's really unfortunate. The voters overwhelmingly supported it at the ballot box. And the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, and I think their state attorney general, both are supporting lawsuits to overturn the will of the voters. And they're both Republicans, and we're seeing some of that same attitude play out in Minnesota, where even though it's an issue that is broadly popular, and even popular amongst Republicans, the Republican political leadership is trying to hold it back for reasons, I think, probably more to do with politics than anything substantive.
All right. So, Ryan, I'm sorry, I don't have any more questions, but is there anything about for this weekly update you wanted to be sure we get out before we wrap it up today?
Well, I just want to say that even though the legislature is operating remotely right now, people have maybe better ways, especially if you're, you know, 3-4 hours away from the state capitol, better ways of engaging in the legislative process by Zoom hearings and other indirect, you know, virtual approaches to legislators. So if you have an opportunity to send an email or to make a phone call and connect with your legislator, you'll get a response. And if you have an issue or something that you're working on locally in Bemidji that you think the legislature needs to hear about, there are opportunities to testify on bills and in front of committee hearings remotely that saves you the trip to St. Paul. So I would just really encourage people to be involved regardless of their political stripe or what kind of views they might have on the issues.
Right. It doesn't seem like we'll do a Bemidji Day at the state capitol this year.
Not the red and black Woolen Mills plaid won't be in person this year, no.
All right. Maybe next year. All right. Representative Winkler, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.